good evening. It's good to be here. And like Brother Brian says, I love to take questions. I think to really appreciate the work there and for me to better give an understanding and appreciation of what's going on there, it's good to entertain questions and take it from there. But I have a few pictures and maybe give an idea of, first of all, where Seychelles is at. And then we'll look at some pictures of the brethren there, and then we could talk about the work a little bit. Okay? Now, Seychelles is a group of islands found in the Indian Ocean. It's about 4 degrees south of the equator, and it's about 1,000 miles east of the African continent. Seychelles, actually, its history is as old as the United States, almost exactly same age. But anyways, it's an independent group of islands, and, you know, we've got democracy, as young as it is, but pretty peaceful. The group of people are very mixed, if you will. Indians and Asians and Africans and Europeans all come together to form that small group of islands. Now, there's a saying in Seychelles that is a 1,000 miles from nowhere. And if you go there or have any idea about it, you will probably understand why the statement is true. But our intention today is to really talk about the work there. But before that, I'd like to just kind of give you a little sneak peek, if you will, of Seychelles itself geographically. And actually, I have an advice here for those who are about to celebrate 10-year anniversary, 15, 20, and you're trying to wonder where you're going to go the next getaway. I think you need this is a place right here for you to start thinking about. Got some pictures here to entice you a little bit. But anyways, a very small island and very beautiful. People call it the paradise of the Indian Ocean, and sometimes you wish that that would be the case as well as morality goes. And that's one thing I'm going to talk a little bit about more as far as the challenges for the church there in Seychelles. Now, the congregation itself was established by a man named Robert Smith. I'm not sure if many of you are familiar with him. Robert Smith moved to the Seychelles in 1994 with his wife Andrea, who is a German, and they stayed there for 12 years. And I think when they left in 2006, they were about probably 35, 40 members. Sadly, Robert passed away early this year, and Robert was my mentor, and he's the one who taught me the gospel. And it's just amazing. Let me tell you this little story real quick. Many times, you know, when I meet people, they notice the cute little accent I've got and ask me where I'm from, and I tell them I'm from the Seychelles Islands, and they ask me, how in the world you ended up here? And I tell them, actually, my reason being here is actually started with a simple hello. I was going to the grocery store, and I saw this stranger, and he took the time to just say hi to me, and we struck up a conversation, and 10 years later, this is my story. And if anything, folks, that we learned today, I just want to teach you, or at least share with you, the power of sharing the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is very powerful. Very powerful. And the church grew, and when Robert Smith left, actually, 2006, for 2 years, the congregation basically was on their own, and the men took the challenges of teaching and preaching, kind of keeping the church together until my wife and I moved back there last year. Now, the congregation meets in a community center. We have our services at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. And actually, we've been meeting in the community center for a while, and it's really challenging, you know, for us here. 6 o'clock, we meet at Virgo Church of Christ. We just put in the driveway, and we have our building. We have our place. But over there, we rent this community center. And sometimes when we come on Sunday mornings, they are playing dominoes, even though we paid our rent. So we basically sometimes meet outside, or sometimes they have parties earlier during the day or maybe the previous day. Garbage everywhere, so we have to clean. So there's a lot of challenges, folks, that you just don't think about when you go to services here. But over there, different challenges. And so the members have to bring their own chairs. Actually, there's a brother who has a big truck, And he put all the chairs in the back of his truck, and every Sunday morning he brings the chairs, and we meet there. Actually, right now, we've made it one of our goals to try to find a place of our own, piece of land, or a building where we can meet and call it our own, kind of stabilize the work, if you will, and kind of give it some focus. I think that's what we really need as far as that goes. We have a lot of young men. Average age, actually, among the men is about 30, 32, 33. Very young congregation. A lot of young families. We're starting having young kids coming up, which is really good. Now, let me talk a little bit about the challenges for the congregation. Now, I don't know. Most people would say in America it's really the, materialism or whatever. But there's really the immorality that goes on. And let me tell you why it is such a pull and such a difficulty for so many of the people there. Catholicism is the main religion, okay? And most people who are Catholics don't care about getting married, okay? And they cohabitate and have kids, and kids have kids, and that's the norm. Now, just imagine that people can have parties and people can sleep around and do whatever and still have a relationship with God. On Sunday morning, they still go to Mass. They still do the little cross. They still have Holy Communion and all those wonderful things. And now we go to those people and we tell them, guess what? Jesus has a standard. And they look at you and scratch their head and say, is that the same Jesus that we worship? Is that the same Bible that we use? Well, if the priest says it's okay, who in the world do you think you are? You're going to tell us that we need to change our lives. Or you're going to come tell us that, you know, that there's a higher moral calling that God asks Christians to follow. Okay, very, very hard. And even within the church, we've seen that immorality, fornication, and adultery, one of the biggest challenges for our group. But yet, folks, it's just amazing to see the excitement that the young people have. Let me show you some more pictures here. This is the most handsome guy from Seychelles there. But anyways, the excitement that those people have, really, about just living this gospel is so new to them. It's so fresh to them. And many of them are really trying to encourage their young families. Many of them are trying to encourage their relatives and their co-workers to really come and just listen to this message. Many of them thought they knew the Bible. Many of them thought that they really knew who God was. But when they sit down and simply study the Bible for what it is, they're just amazed and really excited. So we started this year with what we call a mission statement. And our mission was, Lord, revive the church starting with me. I've been in the States for a long time, almost 10 years, to realize that so many times we tend to relegate the work of the church to the elders and the preachers and the deacons. And somehow, in Seychelles, it's not different. For most people who come from a denominational background or Catholicism, the priests and all the clergy people do the work. We just come in, watch a show, if you will. Okay, so we put the onus on the members, really, to challenge yourself, to ask God to revive his church, create a sense of excitement, create a sense of renewal of mind and spirit, starting with me. And it's amazing, just this year, we've had 4 baptisms, we've had 6 restorations, and many more visitors coming to listen, and many more people engaged, at least interested in what's going on. So we are very excited what's going on there. It seems that there's a great potential for the church to really take off and grow. But it's just going to take a lot of work, lots of work. And I'm really grateful for my wife. She's very supportive. You can imagine, folks, how different life would be for her. Challenge from all rounds, you know, many levels for her. But she's feeling real good and doing very, very well. Now, another thing that a lot of people that I was able to share with them is the concept of the church, really. You know, you have the structure deacons, elders, preacher, and you know, all the members. And that was totally different for them, totally new to them. And I think with the Bible seminars that we've had, the Bible workshop we've had, and all the Bible studies we've had, the people are really getting excited about this. And one thing I would encourage anyone here, you can get in touch with me later on, if you could just send an email to members there, or you can send it through me, I can read it to the members there, or I can share your contact number, just for them to kind of get in touch with other Christians in other places would be very beneficial for them. Now, it's so easy, folks, for us to just kind of be mindless or just don't think about what's going on outside of the American society or culture. But at the same time, we know that Christianity is for everybody, Christians as Christians, anywhere you're at. But here we have such a rich history, if you will, of Christianity. And I think for us to be able to share that with other people would be very enriching for them as well as for ourselves. Let me see. We have some, I don't want to use that word, pillars, but we have some pretty strong families that kind of keep things together, you know, like the Dobbin family and Peter and his wife. People that kind of get it. They get the concept. They really get what it's all about, and I think it's a lot of help for me and Tabitha, where we can get help in trying to instill just the simple gospel, the simple message. What is Christianity, and how do you live this, and how do you share this? How do you get excited about it? And so, like I said, folks, in general, I will say it's been a very successful year and very exciting things going on for us, and I'm very grateful for all the support we have here. And like I said, I think it'd be really good, very beneficial if anyone, young people especially, can just kind of get in touch with people there. Just send them a note, let them know you think about them, trying to get to know them. It really kind of make this thing real for them. Now let me stop right here for a second and try to entertain any questions that you may have. This is what I really want to focus on, trying to answer some questions that you may have as far as what we do in Seychelles and what's going on there. Anyone? Yes, ma'am.
Do most of the members have computer access?
I say 75%, yes. Most people do emails. They have little internet cafes that people can use, or some people have it in their homes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
How is the economy in Seychelles?
Well, good question. Seychelles depend primarily on tourism, okay? And with the recent recession, we've been hit pretty hard, you know, especially the European market has been hit real hard. And the economy really took a dive the last couple of years, actually. And so we have the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that came to Seychelles and trying to impose some structure, some really strict regulations as far as trade. And so I think that is helping us a lot, but it's we're a long ways from getting back to, you know, at least a level field. Yes, sir.
What language do you guys preach in? Is it different languages or all English?
Yeah, well, it's funny. We sing all those songs that we sing here, but then I preach in Creole. Okay? I preach in Creole, and then we sing in English. And then sometimes people will pray in English. Okay? So we speak three languages there, French, Creole and English. French, basically, if you want to kind of be snooty, you speak it. but, you know, English is basically the business language, and then Creole is the street language, you know. On the street, people speak Creole. Yes, ma'am.
Last time when you talked, you said you worry about kind of being accepted again after being
Well, actually, it's been pretty smooth. Yeah, and that's a great question, too, because what happened, folks, a lot of people, professional people, they go to Europe, especially, or Australia, to study. And so a lot of them in the past, when they come back, it seems there's this sense of, you know, elitism. You know, they come back, you know, they're the people in town. You know, look at me, I've got my degree. And so it kind of rubbed the people the wrong way. So for a long time, if you basically live outside of Seychelles for a while and come back, you looked at us, oh, you're one of those guys. You know, so it really took a while for it to kind of reacclimate yourself into the flow of things and be reaccepted. But as far as for me, it went real smooth. It went real smooth, you know. Yes, sir. Well, the town that I live in actually is the biggest town. I live on the northern side of the island called Anse-Toile. There's about 10,000 plus people, okay? And there are 85,000 people on the island, okay, 85,000 people. Yeah. Yes, sir. Housing situation?
Like the way you come to meet your meeting situation. Is that satisfactory to everybody, or what are they looking?
You know, that's a great question, because recently, when was that? Maybe 3 months ago. Up to 3 months ago, we used to pay just about $10 a month. And then all of a sudden, it went up to $180. Actually, it was not 3 months ago. Sorry, it was in January. It was in January. So for 10 years, we used to basically practically pay $10 a month for our meeting place, and then it just went up to $180 a month. And so we looked at several options, you know, buying a piece of land or buying a building. But the cost of it is just outrageous. We looked at an office space. It's about 100 square feet, and it costs $200,000, you know, $200,000, and they consider that a deal, you know. And the craziest thing about this, the bank would not give us a loan to purchase a building because they consider us as too small as far as, you know, percentage to have any kind of guarantee that we'll be able to pay the loan back, even though we have already $40,000 in the bank, you know. So it's... it's a catch-22, you know, and we're really not sure what we're going to do. And we're just hoping, you know, over the long run, something will come up for us. Because I really honestly believe if we have our own place, it will really stabilize the work. And the work will really have a sense of focus and really take off much more than it is right now. Yeah. Anyway, yes, sir. No, we're the only congregation right now. We have about, you know, 55 members. Well, I say 50 members now plus 10, 12 kids. So we're hoping eventually. There are 115 islands altogether, but the only four main islands, you know, kind of like inhabited. So we're hoping eventually to branch out and go to the other islands. Yes, sir? Yeah, we had democracy established in Seychelles in 1991. From 1976, we got our independence from the British people, and they had a one-party state. And then 1991, they established democracy, and we have about three political parties. But still, the undercurrent of, you know, one-party state is still ruling because the government, you know, won the election. And Seychelles' government is a socialist government, so that's the politics, really, socialist policies. Yes, sir? Median income right now will be somewhere between $400 to $500 a month. And I was talking to Mr. Ray, actually, and telling him, the crazy thing is most people, you know, make about that much a month, but then the cost of living is somewhere between $1,000 to $1,500 a month. You know, it's really crazy. It's really, really high. And I think the tourism industry really kind of drive the market high. Because what's happening now, a lot of Arabs and South Africans who have money, they come and just pour their money in Seychelles, buying big pieces of property, just appreciating everything. You know, and so the local people have to compete with that market, which is, you know, it's a given. They can't. And so a lot of people are turning to selling drugs now and doing illicit things to kind of compete. So a lot of things that you see in westernized, you know, big country nation, we are now slowly experiencing those things socially. Yeah, yes, sir.
Is it, you spoke about Catholicism there, are there any other sort of pagan religions in Seychelles? Are there any other religions you have
Well,
just the Catholic faith?
Well, actually, right now, there are all kinds of holiness groups popping up, left and right. You know, Grace and Peace, Pentecostals, all kind of holiness groups coming up. Seventh Adventist has been established there for a while. Jehovah Witness is pretty strong there, actually. So there's all kinds of small denominations going on there. So it's hard because, you know, we all know this. Even here we talk about this. This whole Christendom, you know, everybody's Christians. So they're trying to disabuse people from that concept is really hard. Anybody else? No? Okay, I guess for conclusion, I'd like to say this. I get this question a lot. How is the work going? I'd like to revert that back to you. What do you think about the work? How do you consider the work? What is the work? How's the work going here at Barica? Who is to answer that question? Speak up, the elders, deacons. But I think it's very important and valuable question when we ask that question, you know, how's the work going? And if you're really honest, you always, almost always has to start and stop right here. What am I doing? What am I doing? As a Christian, to try to share that message to all those out there who are lost. And that's why I want to extend a small invitation here, folks. And I want us to turn to Acts chapter 4. And I want us to be impressed with what goes on here in Acts chapter 4. We're in Acts chapter 4. We all understand the church has just been established in Acts 4. In Acts 2. And we hear that 3,000 plus people have been baptized after they heard this powerful sermon by Peter. And in Acts 3, we see that the apostles are doing miracles. They continue to preach in the temple. And people are just amazed by this message. Now, listen to what happens in Acts chapter 4. And I'm starting in verse 12. Actually, verse 13, okay? Acts 4, starting with verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. Let me stop right here. They were uneducated. They were Galileans for crying out loud. They were untrained. Now, people, I mean, I'm sure in their memory, they remember it is the same John, it is the same Peter, that when they were challenged and asked the question, are you one of the follower of this Jesus? And they just cowered, trembled, and said, no. There is no way. We don't know this Jesus. Started cussing even. And now the same people are standing and observing Peter and John, and they're in awe now, saying, this is the same guy who we know come from Galilee, uneducated, untrained. And listen to what the text continues to say. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. It is not the seminaries, folks. It is not the education. It is not the city you come from. Actually, the only thing that makes a difference, a powerful difference in the life of others, is that people recognize that you've been with Jesus. That was a powerful testimony of the power of the gospel. That simple gospel to change Peter's mind. That I no longer need to be afraid. I no longer need to be scared and fear. Actually, I need to stand and look at the same Pharisees and the same Sadducees right there in their eyes and point fingers right straight at them and say, you're the one who killed this Jesus. And if you don't change, guess what? God's going to judge you, and it's not going to be pretty. Folks, our invitation is simply this. You can have the same power right now. Right now. To change your environment, to change your surrounding, to even change people around you, simply by them recognizing that you've been following this Jesus. How's the work going? Well, Jesus said, I've got work for you to do. Follow me. Simple as that. Just follow me and allow me to control your mind. Allow me to control your heart. Allow me to transform your lives. And guess what? We won't have any doubt about how the work is going. And anyone tonight wants that for themselves, just come forward and believe in Jesus. Believe in his power. Accept him in your life. Change from all your sins. Repent and be baptized. As for us Christians, let's stop being comfortable where we're at. Let's start working by first following the true Jesus. The Jesus that was buried and rose on the third day. That Jesus that sits on the Father's right hand side to live forevermore. Whatever we need is, please, let's stand and sing.